Okay, so let's briefly review the first parak of Megillah inside. The Mishnah, the first Mishnah says, Megillah nikris ba'achad asar, b'shneim asar, b'shlosh asar, b'arba asar, b'chamisha asar. The Megillah's Esther can be read on 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, or 15th of Adar. Lo pachas v'lo yotzer, not less and not more, meaning to say not earlier than the 11th and not later than the 15th. Krachna mukafen choma mimos Yoshua v'nun. The cities that are walled, the fortified cities, the walled cities that have had a wall since the times from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. Karn v'chamisha asar, they read the Megillah on the 15th. Kfarim v'ayaros gedolos, the villages and the large cities that are unwalled, Karn v'arba asar, they read the Megillah on the 14th. Elisha ha-kfar makdim liyom achnisa, just that the kfarim, the villages, have the ability that they can read the Megillah early when they go in on Yom HaKnisa. We discussed why is it that the walled cities are walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun and not from the times of Ahasuerus, and we said that was because we didn't want Eretz Yisrael to, we wanted to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael, so that because at the time of the Purim story, the walled cities in Eretz Yisrael were not so walled anymore. The Eretz Yisrael was in shambles. The other point that we talked about is what exactly was Yom HaKnisa. There were a couple different explanations. Yom HaKnisa is the day of entry, of getting together, where the villagers would go in if they needed to, if they had any court cases, they would go into the larger cities where the courts convened on Mondays or Thursdays. Alternatively, it was a day that they got together to go to shul in the larger cities to have Tila B'Tzibor for Kriyas HaTorah, etc. Okay, Mishnah Beis, Ketzad. So how exactly does this play out that the Megillah would have been read on any of these dates? So Chalios Yomar Ba'asar Basheni, if the 14th of Adar came out to be on a Monday, Kfarim Va'ayaros Gedolos Korn Babiyom. So then the villages and the large cities, the large unwalled cities, would read on that day. They'd read the Megillah on that very day. Mekavos Chomel Amachar, and then the walled cities would read the next day, on the 15th. Okay, so that's the easiest case. Chalios Bashlisho Baravi, if the 14th of Adar came out to be on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday, Kfar Magdim Liyom HaKnisa, so then the villages would read the Megillah early when they'd go in on Yom HaKnisa. So in other words, they'd read it on the immediately preceding Yom HaKnisa, which would be on Monday. The Ayaros Gedolos Korn Babiyom, and the larger cities would read on that day, the large unwalled cities, Umukavos Choma, and the cities that were surrounded by a wall, Lamacha, they would read the next day. Chalios Bachamishi, if the 14th of Adar came out to be on a Thursday, Kfarim Vayaros Gedolos Korn Babiyom, the villages and the large cities would read on that day, Umukavos Choma, Lamacha, and then the walled cities would read the next day. Chalios Arv Shabbos, what about if the 14th of Adar came out to be on an Erev Shabbos, so Kfar Magdim Yom HaKnisa. Okay, so the villages, they would read early. They'd read early when they'd go in on Yom HaKnisa the Thursday before, in other words, yesterday. Vayaros Gedolos Mekavos Choma Korn Vovayom. And the large cities, the large unwalled cities, and the walled cities would read on that day, on Friday. The Mukavos Choma would not read on the 15th. Why? Because the 15th would be on Shabbos, and we talked about how we do not want the Megillah being read on Shabbos because we're nervous that someone might come to carry Dalet Amos Bershus Harabin. Okay, Chalios B'Shabbos. If the 14th of Adar came out to be on a Shabbos, Kfarim V'Ayaros Gedolos Makdim. So the Kfarim and the Ayaros Gedolos, the villages and the large cities would proceed. They'd read it early, the Koran Yom HaKnisa. They'd read it on Yom HaKnisa, on the Thursday prior. Umukavetz Chomel L'Machar, and then the walled cities would read the next day, on Sunday. Chalios Achar HaShabbos. If it came out to be on after Shabbos, meaning to say on Sunday, Kfar Makdim L'Yom HaKnisa, so then the villages read it early on Yom HaKnisa, the Thursday prior, Vayaros Kedolos, Koran Babiyom, and the large unwalled cities would read on that day, on Sunday, Umukavos Chomel L'Machar, and then the walled cities would read the next day. Okay, so now, Ezuhi Ir Gedola, what counts as a large unwalled city that would require reading the Megillah on the 14th of Adar? Kol Sheyesh Ba Asar Batlanim, any city that contains 10 batlanim, 10 people who abstain from malacha, from work, in order to be constantly found, frequently found in the Beis HaKnesses during the times of davening. Okay, Pachas Mikan, but if you had less than that, if you had fewer than 10 people available to be in the shuls to make sure that there were minyanim all the time, Sarezakvar, that counts as a village. And of course, we know that the big difference, the nafkamina, the practical distinction between those two, is whether you're allowed to read the Megillah early on a Yom HaKnisa day when you go in to the large cities. Be'elu Amru, now for these, they said, Makdim Veloma Achrin, that we do early rather than doing late, right? We proceed rather than delay. But there are a bunch of things that we prefer to do later rather than earlier. What are they? The time of the wood of the Kohanim, which we talked about how different families at different dates in the year that were designated to bring wood, to supply wood for them, for the piles of wood on Mizbeach, and they had to bring a carbon, it's like a yomtiv for that day, for that family. V'tisha ba'av and antisha ba'av, v'chagiga, and chagiga, meaning to say the carbon chagiga that they had to bring on the three regalim, the hakel and the mitzvah of hakel, which we discussed at the end of a shemitah year, right after the shemitah year was over, by Sukkot time, everyone would get together. All men, women, and children would have to get together on Matzah Yom Tov of the first day of Sukkot. And they get together in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash in order to hear the Melech read the Sefer Torah, read from Sefer Devarim on this special bima of wood that was constructed there. Okay, so now that's, so Tish B'Av and Hakel, all these things are things that we are ma'acharin v'lo ma'atimin. We delay them rather than doing them in advance. And we went through why it is exactly that we'd prefer to do these things later. So Tish B'Av, for example, we don't want to bring on bad things or things that commemorate bad things. We don't want to advance them. The Chagiga is not Docha Shabbos because we have the full 7 days of the first 7 days of Yom Tov in order to make it up. Hakel, we don't override Shabbos for that. With different reasons that we explained. One of them is that we don't commemorate Shabbos because we don't want it on Shabbos because you'd have to carry children there, right? You need the men, women, and children there. Okay, anyway, continuing, even though they said that we do these things in advance rather than delay them, in other words, when it comes to Megillah, we can read the Megillah early, mutarn behesped v'tanius, when you do advance the day of Purim, to have it on the 11th or 12th or 13th, etc., it's permitted to eulogize on those days or to observe them as a fast day. And also you can satisfy the mitzvah of giving gifts to the poor. The thing that we noted was not mentioned in this mission, of course, is Mishloach Manos, which had to be done at the time that the Sudas Purim would be observed, which is Bisman, on the appropriate time of Purim. Amr Rav Yehuda, Emesai, so Rav Yehuda said, but when is that? Malkom Shenachnasin B'Sheni V'Chemishi. That's specifically in a place where they would be going into the larger cities on Mondays or Thursdays. That's when you have this ability to advance things. Av Malkom Shenachnasin Lo B'Sheni V'Lo B'Chemishi in Karnosa El B'Sman. But in a place where they don't go in on Mondays or Thursdays into the larger cities, so then they don't have a right to read it earlier. They have to read it in its appropriate time on the 14th of Adar. Mishnah Dalet. Karu es ha-Megillah ba-Adar ha-Rishon es Abra ha-Shana. If they read the Megillah in Adar Rishon, and then they, Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, made the year a leap year, Karu es ba-Adar ha-Sheni. So then they'd have to read it again in Adar Sheni. We discussed how it was possible to, the calendars weren't fixed, the Sanhedrin would figure it out by that month, depending on the seasons, to make sure that Pesach, for example, comes out in the spring. So Karnas about Adar HaSheni. Ein bein Adar HaRishon la'Adar HaSheni. Now this initiates, this is where we start having the Ein Beins, and it starts, of course, with something that does have to do with Purim, with Adar, and that is Ein bein Adar HaRishon la'Adar HaSheni. Elokriyas Megillah, Matanas of Yoram. There's no difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, except for Mikra Megillah and Matanas Lev Yonim. That those are things that are specifically applicable to Adar Sheni, not to Adar Rishon. And we explain the reason for that is that we want the Purim commemorated in Adar Sheni so that we put one Gula next door to the other. We want to have the Gula of Purim right next door to the Gula of Pesach. Okay, but as far as Hesped and Tainis, Adar Rishon, the Purim, the 14th of Adar in Adar Rishon is the same, has the same stature as the Purim, as the 14th of Adar, or the 15th of Adar in the in Adar Sheni. Okay, Mishnah Hay. Now we've started the Ein Beins, so we have a bunch of other things that don't really have to do with Megillah or Purim, but we bring it up now. Ein Bein Yom Tov L'Shabbos Ela Ochol Nefesh Bavad. There's no difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos with respect to Malachos that are prohibited to do, except for Ochol Nefesh, Malachos that are needed for the purpose of preparing food. So that's where we have a difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos. On Yom Tov it is permitted to do Malacha, that's for the purpose of making food, and on Shabbos it's not. There's no difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur with respect to the malacha that is prohibited on both of them, except that when you do a malacha, b'mezid, so on Shabbos, the repercussion for that is handled, is something that's handled by people. In other words, a person would be chayv misa in Bezdin. V'zez adon b'karis mashenkin for doing the very same, for committing the same crime on Yom Kippur. If you did it b'mezid, where there were edim, you wouldn't be chayv misa in Bezdin, you'd be chayv karis. Okay. Now, ein bein amudar hana mechaver lamudar mimenu ma'achol, eladrisis haregel, v'kelim she'ein osin behen ochol nefesh. So this we also discussed, accepting a neder upon yourself. We discussed the difference between a neder and a shvua. Imbuing something with iser is how we talk about a neder. So a person comes home for the doctor and he says, I really need to lose weight. And so he makes a neder that all the cake in his house should be usher to him like a carbon. And all the cake in his neighbor's house should be usher to him like a carbon. So he doesn't want to eat certain things. So that's one kind of a netter. But then there's another kind of a netter. Let's say he just says, I'm in general a very gluttonous person. I'm making a netter not to have any hana'ah from that next door neighbor. So is there any difference between those kinds of nedarim? And so the Mishnah tells us, yeah, the difference that there is lies when it comes to drisas haregel, which is the trampling of the foot, meaning walking in your next door neighbor's backyard. If you prohibited yourself from having hana'ah from him, so then that would be under the category of hana'ah, but that's not by any means any form of eating. So then if you're a netter, was only not to eat his food, so then it would be permitted to walk in his backyard. Same thing for kelim she'ein osin men ochel nefesh, utensils that are not used for the purposes of food. So then that's also would be a difference between these two. Right, if a person accepted a neder not to have any hana from his friend, so then even borrowing a laundry basket would be a problem. But if the iser was, if the hana'ah, if the neder was not to have, not to eat his food, so then it would be permitted to borrow his laundry basket. Okay. Ein bein nedarim l'nedavos, elishan nedarim chayav b'achriyusin, nedavos eino chayav b'achriyusin. There's no difference between a neder and a nedava, right? We said that the difference between a neder and a nedava is that for a neder, the way that you formulate it is you say, I'm accepting upon myself, haray alai, this karban. As opposed to a nedava, you declare a specific animal to be your karban, haray zu. So what's the difference between them? What's the nafkamina? So ein bein nedarim ledavas, elisha hanedarim chayav b'achriyusin. There's no difference between nedarim and ledavas, except that nedarim, you'd be responsible for them, for what ultimately happens to them. And so if on your way to the base of Mikdash, the animal gets stolen or lost or struck by lightning or something, so then you'd be chayav to replace it if you accepted that pledge, if you made that pledge as a neder. Nedavas ein chayav b'achriyusin. But if you formulated it as a nedava, where you say harezu, so then you're not liable, you're not responsible to replace it. Okay. Mishnah Zayin, Ein Bein Zav Harosh De Re'ios Leroa Shalosh. There's no difference between a Zav who sees two sightings to a Zav that sees three sightings, Ela Karban. Only a Karban is the difference between them. And we discussed, a Zav is a man who discharges a certain fluid as a result of a specific illness, that this discharge renders him as Tamei. But we said that we discussed the differences in different kinds of tumah. We said he's not an Avatumma until discharging twice. The first time he's only a Rishon Tumma. And we also discussed that the major nafkamina between those is going to be manifest when it comes to the protocol necessary to remove that tumah from him. So for once a zav discharges twice, is there any difference between discharging twice and three times? So what the Mishnah is telling us is that both have to observe Zayin Nekiyim, right? Both would have to wait and make sure that nothing comes out of them. None of this discharge comes out for 7 days. They have to have 7 clean days. But the difference is going to be with regard to a carbon, that for a Zav who has discharged 3 times, he's going to have to bring a carbon after the whole process is over. Ein bein mitzvah muskar le mitzvah muchlat, ela priya uprima. There's no difference between a Mitzorah Muskar and a Mitzorah Mukhlet, except for when it comes to Priya and Prima. And what we discussed was a Mitzorah Muskar was a Mitzorah who's put on hold. We have to wait and see what happens. A person notices that he has Tzaraas of some sort on the skin. He goes to the Kohen. It's not certain that he's Tameh, so he's put in a kind of quarantine. He is Muskar. He is literally confined, locked up, and so that he's going to have to be checked out in another week. The Mitzorah Mukhlet is a person who is a Mitzorah who is defined. He is definitively declared as a Mitzorah. So the Kohen has deemed him as Tamei. And now, what's the difference between these two? So what we say is, the difference is Priya and Prima, that a Mitzorah who is Mukhlet, we say that he has to tear his clothing, his begadim have to be torn, so that's Prima, and has to be Perua, he has to let his hair grow. Okay, Ein bein tahor mitoch hesker, letar mitoch hechlet, ele teglachas vitziparim. There's no difference between the purification process that is involved, that's necessary for Mitzorah Muskar. Mitzorah is becoming tahor after being in a state of hesker. To a Mitzorah who is emerging from a state of Hechlet, so is there any difference between them? And the answer is yes. The difference between them is El Taglachas Vitziparim, is the shaving off of all the body here, that for a Mitzorah who is just finished his Hechlet period, he would have to have all of his body here shaven off. And then he would also require the birds that we discussed, the process of shechting one bird and then squeezing the blood over the Maim Chaim and dipping the other bird together with the bundle of hyssop grass and cedar wood and the Shni Talas, and they would be dipped in and sprinkled on the Torah, etc. That process. Okay. Mishnah Ches. Ein bein Sfarim l'tfilin mezuzas, elisha Sfarim nechtavim b'chol lashon. There's no difference between Sfarim, and we said that Sfarim over here doesn't just mean books, it means Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. So is there any difference between Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim versus tfilin and mezuzas, the parshiyos that are written, that are put into tfilin and mezuzas? Elisha Sfarim nechtavim b'chol lashon, that a Sefer Torah, Nevi'im, or Ksuvim, can be written in any language. Who tfilin and mezuzas ein nechtavis ela ashuris, But tefillin and mezuzas have to be written specifically in Ksav Ashuris, which would mean in Lashon HaKodesh as well. Rabbi Shimon Galil, Omer Af B'Sfarim, Lo Hitzur She'Yikasvu Ela Yivanas. So Rabbi Shimon Galil said, actually, no. Even when it comes to Sfarim, we're a little bit more lenient in terms of the language that you can write it in. The permissibility that we have is only for them to be written in Greek, in Greek script, in Greek language, but not any other scripture language. Okay, Mishnah Tess. Ein bein kohen mashuach b'shamin ha-mishchal l'meruba begadim. There's no difference between a kohen mashuach b'shamin ha-mishchal, a kohen who is anointed with the shamin ha-mishchal, the special oil that has a special recipe that was used to anoint the kelim and the kohanim for the arvoda, versus a kohen who became a kohen by means of meruba begadim, by the increase of clothing. And we discussed that what point in Jewish history you're living in, the Kohen Gadol would be initiated into his service as a Kohen Gadol by means of Shemen HaMishcha, up until King Yoshio's time. Once, after that point though, when there was no Shemen HaMishcha anymore, the way that the Kohen Gadol became initiated into his Avoda as a Kohen Gadol would be by donning the other four begadim that he had over the Kohen head. And we discussed the different begadim, the begadim that the Kohen had wore versus the begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore. Ella, so what is the difference between them? At the end of the day, they're both Kohanim Gedolim. Ella parhaba al kol hamitzos. The difference between them is the bowl that would come for all mitzvos. What does that mean, the bowl that would come for all mitzvos? And so what that means is that for a Kohen Meshuach, if he violates a los aseh, sheyesh bo kares, and he did it b'shogeg, he didn't do it on purpose or knowingly, so what does he have to bring as a karban chatas? So for any regular person who would violate a los aseh sheyesh bo kares, if he violated this los aseh, but he did it b'shogeg, without awareness, let's say, or not on purpose, so then what would he bring? He'd bring a karban chatas, and that karban chatas would be a female sheep or a female goat. But for the Kohen Gadol, he would have to bring a par. So the difference between these Kohen Gadols is that the Kohen Meshuach, B'Shamin HaMishcha, he would have to bring the par for committing this sin. But for the Kohen who is only Meruba Begadim, he would not have to bring a par as atonement. Ein bein Kohen Meshamish l'Kohen Sha'avar. There's no difference between the Kohen who is the serving, the acting Kohen, to the, and there's no difference between him and the Kohen Sha'ar, the Kohen who has passed, meaning to say that when a Kohen Gadol develops some sort of a psul, he'd have to take off some time from work, and we would replace him with a substitute for the time being. Once he was reinstated, once the Kohen who was passed would be reinstated after the psul dissipated, so we have a Kohen who is currently Mishamish and a Kohen who is a Kohen Sha'avar, that he is passed, meaning to say he still has a status, so to speak, of a Kohen Gadol, but he is now now retired. So Ela Paryom HaKippurim Vasir Seva, the difference between the Kohen Mishamish and the Kohen Sha'avar is the Paryom HaKippurim, that there's only one Paryom Kippur brought, so that's the Kohen Gadol who is the acting Kohen Gadol, he's the one who's supposed to bring the par, the bowl on Yom Kippur, and Asir Se'efa, the tenth of the Eifa, which refers to the Michas Chavitin, that would be brought every single day, half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So we only want one of them brought, and so that would have to be brought by the Kohen Mishamish. Okay, Mishnah Yud, we discussed the difference between the Bama Gadol and the Bama Katan, depending on the point in history. That depending when where the Jews were, what the Mishkan was set up, and if the Aron was in the Mishkan, that dictated if you were allowed to bring up a carbon on a bum. And the simple rule of thumb is that if the Aron was in the Mishkan, you are not allowed to bring up a carbon on your own personal bama in your backyard. So in the Midbar, up until the Mishkan was set up, you could bring a carbon on a bama in your backyard. Once the Mishkan was set up with the Aron in it, you couldn't. You had to bring a carbon. If you wanted to bring a carbon, you had to bring it in the Mishkan itself. When the Jews got to Gilgal, so then the Aaron accompanied them in war, and so if they wanted to bring a carbon, they could once again bring it on a bama. For Shiloh, though, you had to bring it to Shiloh. But what about when they got to Nov and Givon? So there too, again, there was no Aaron, and so they could bring up. You could bring a carbon on a bama in your backyard. But finally, when the Jews ended up and they in Yerushalayim and they built the Beis Hamikdash, you had to bring carbonas on that. On the Mizbech in the Beis Hamikdash. The Mizbech and Nechoshes that Moshe Rabbeinu built that was in the Mishkan and ultimately the Beis Hamikdash, so that Mizbech that he built was what's called, is referred to as the Bama Gedola. So what we say over here is and the Bama Katan is a small Bama, meaning the Bama that you construct and set up in your backyard. So in the Mishnah says, Ein bein Bama la Gedola, the Bama Katana ela Psachim. There's no difference between the Bama Gadol and Bama Katana, except for Psachim. What does it mean? Meaning to say that any individual would not be able to bring a carbon Pesach, or any other carbon for that matter that had a fixed time, could not be brought on a Bama Katana. You have to bring that on a Bama Gadol, on the main Mizbeach in the Mishkan. Zeh HaKlal, this is the rule. Kol Shehu Nidar, V'Nidav, any carbon that was pledged by means of a neder or a nedava, karev babama, could be brought on a bama and stam bama. Whenever you see the word bama in general, where it's unspecified, that's referring to a bama katana, a bama that is set up in your backyard. So v'kol she'ino lo nidar v'lo nidar, but anything that's not brought on the basis of a neder or a nedava, ino karev babama, cannot be brought on a bama katana, you'd have to bring it on a bama gedola. Okay, Mishnah Yud Aleph, Ein Bein Shilo Li Yerushalayim, El Shilo B'Shilo, Ochlem Kachem Kalim, Ma'aser Sheni B'Kol Ro. There's no difference between Shilo and Yerushalayim, except for when it comes to where you're going to eat Kachem Kalim and where you're going to eat Ma'aser Sheni. We know that Kachem Kalim and Ma'aser Sheni both have to be eaten inside of the city of Yerushalayim, but what about when the Jews were living in Shilo? Where would it be eaten? So in Shilo, when the Mishkan was set up in Shiloh, so then those things would have to be eaten as long as you were at a place where you could see Shiloh from the distance. Okay, Ubi Yerushalayim, but if when they were in Yerushalayim, Lifnei Menachoma, it had to be eaten inside of the wall of Yerushalayim. V'kanim, both here and here, both in Shiloh and in Yerushalayim, Kachi Kachim, Nechalim Lifnei Menachoma, so Kachi Kachim had to be eaten inside of the klum, inside of the curtains, meaning to say inside of the Azar for the Beis Hamikdash, or inside of the curtains of the Chatzar HaMishkan. That's for Kachem Kachem. Examples would be like a Chatas or an Asham or an Ola, except an Ola is not eaten, but that has a higher status of Kedusha. So Kedusha Shiloh Yeshachra Heter. Kedusha Shiloh does have a Heter after it, does have permissibility after it, meaning to say that once Shiloh was destroyed, it was permitted to bring up Karbanos Anabama. Kedusha Yerushalayim Einachra Heter. But for Kedusha Yerushalayim, there's no Heter, there's no permissibility after it, meaning to say that even after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, there was no permissibility to use Bamos again. Okay.